Got a couple of verses that I want to read, and I got to explain what I kind of went through with these. The first one is in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the Lord, or in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Next verse is Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, kind of the same, but it says, "Each of you must respect his mother and father, and you must observe the Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." And the last verse is in the New Testament that I want to read, but again, it's kind of similar to what we've been talking. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." And when I asked Trey what we might talk on, of course it's Mother's Day, so you obviously have to mention moms. But he gave me these verses, and I read them, and I thought, well, honor your father and mother. Yeah, everybody knows we're supposed to do that. What does that really mean? So I looked up honor in the dictionary. I do that a lot because I'm not the brightest person in the world, but looked it up, and it says honor. I mean, there's several different definitions of honor. And the one that stuck with me is one whose worth brings respect. And obviously, you think of that when you think of moms. Another one was an exalted title or a showing of merited respect. So I want everybody to think a minute for what do you think of when you hear the word mother? Okay, you've got that picture in your mind. Now what do you think of when you hear the word mother-in-law? Maybe not the same. I don't know how your relationships are with your mom or your mom. Dan, were you just shivering? She's here. I don't know how your relationships are with your mom or your mother-in-law, whether they're good or bad. But, you know, I think whether they are good or bad, I think we can learn from either situation that we're in. I've had a great respect and a great relationship with my mom and even my mother-in-law. I've always had a good relationship with both of them. I've had to learn a few things this past 6 months or so, though. As you know, we took my dad to the nursing home back in October, the end of October, and that was not an easy thing for us to go through. And we had to watch Mom go through the same thing, and there was a lot of times when she wasn't sure if it was the right decision to make. But you go up, and he's in the Alzheimer's unit up in Danforth, and that's not a real great place to be or even to visit. But yet, I have to, and I think that's part of honoring my dad. I mean, he's taught me a lot, and there's a lot of things I still need to learn from him, and it's been an interesting process for myself to go through. And then with Mom, she's living at home by herself. Dad's not there to fix things, so it seems like about every time I go to visit, she's got a list of things that I need to do. And there's a lot of times I roll my eyes. I don't let her see that, but I kind of roll my eyes, and I say, why can't I just stop and eat dinner and be done? Well, that's not very honoring to her. She's got things for me to do, and I need to respect her and do those things. So again, I don't know how your relationships are with your moms or your dads or your mother-in-laws or father-in-laws. There's something that we can all learn. So I just challenge you to think about those relationships, and if there's a way you can better them, that'd be great. And if not, just keep plugging along, and God will show you what you need to do to make those better. With that in mind, we're going to honor our moms today, and we want the kids to come up, the young kids to come up. We have flowers here to give to all of our moms. So we would like the younger kids to come up. Go ahead, come on up. We want the kids to come up here and just stand up here for a second. We would like all the moms, mothers, mother-in-laws, or soon-to-be moms to raise your hands. Sloan can come on up. That's all right. But anybody that is a mother, raise your hand, or if you're going to be a mom, raise your hand. So kids, grab a flower, take them to someone you know first, your moms or your grandmas or whatever, and give them to your moms. Give them a hug, too, while you're there. Sloan, you too. Keep your hands raised high so everybody can see them. Have all of the moms got a flower? There's a couple more in the middle here that need them, guys. Keep your hands raised high. Krista's way in the back. She needs one yet. Oh, there she's got one. Everybody got one? Way in the back. Who else needs one? You got one? Kathy needs one yet? Jane needs one yet? Ava, way in the back. Does everybody have one? It's all right if you got two, actually. Guys, you don't need one yet. I hear we're getting a cordless drill when it's our day. Okay, but again, we just want to, we really, I know we don't say it enough, but we really appreciate our moms and the moms in this church here, and we're so thankful for what you've done. So we just hope that you have a great day. We hope that your husbands or your sons or whatever are cooking for you. We just hope that you have a great day today. So once again, happy Mother's Day. So let's turn it over to the worship team, right? Or is that not right? Okay.
Happy Mother's Day again to all of you guys. We're so very grateful for all you moms and what you do. And we hope you feel honored and blessed and have a good day. Let's stand and sing to the Lord our God this morning, who gives every good and perfect gift comes from up above, the Father of lights, with whom there's no shifting shadow. And one of those good gifts that he gives us is our moms. So thank you guys for doing that. Let's sing now to him.
Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save, forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Mighty to save, forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Amen. Is he mighty to save, church? Save us from our sins and our guilt and our shame. Sing this next song, Jesus Messiah.
became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Sing and honor and glory and power forever.
take us up to His side. Forever we will be His, singing blessing and honor, glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God. Singing blessing and honor and glory and power forever to our God.
Dear God, we just thank you that you are a mighty God that we serve, a God that is so worthy of worship, that you are God of the universe, that you are light of salvation and majesty and a righteous King. We praise you. And Lord, in our humble way, we give you all the praise we possibly can, knowing you deserve so much more. We honor you this morning. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
Chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now, as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy find rest, 'cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other.
Good morning. Dan and I are kind of taking spots, switching spots this morning, so I'm going to be leading us in our prayer. Hopefully you guys have all been praying for Brad and Jess List for their baby boy. I want to give you an update. I got a text message from Colleen about 8:30 this morning, and it reads as follows. Baby was born around 2:30 a.m. this morning, 7 pounds, 6 ounces. No word on the name yet. So she says regarding the kidney, I don't know if you're aware, probably most of us are, but he has one kidney, and there were indications that the kidney in utero was not working. So they were very concerned about that. She goes on to say that he went ahead and peed right away, which is a good sign, and he nursed, which is a good sign. Two good things. He got to stay with them until 7:30, until he had to go to the NICU hospital for tests. News about the kidney tests yet to come. Thank you for everyone's continued prayers. So that is certainly very good news and very good signs, I think. So let's continue to pray for Brad and Jess and for their baby boy, and hopefully that kidney will just kick right in and function. So let's pray, and we'll also pray for Dan as he gets up to preach to us this morning. So let's pray. Father, we do pray for Brad and Jess and for this little baby boy. We thank you for his birth. We recognize that kids are good gifts from you, and that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you for the positive indications that this little boy's kidney seems to be functioning. We thank you for urine, and we thank you that he's eating, and we pray that that would continue to be the case, that you would cause his function, his kidney to function, and that you would allow even, if it be your will, and that you would be so gracious that there would not have to be any kind of emergency surgery, that the tests would come out positive, and that you would continue to be so gracious to Brad and Jess and all of those involved and to this little boy. So we continue to lift him up to you once again. We thank you for the good news that has come this morning, and we await further good news. Father, we do want to pray for Dan. Thank you for his willingness to come and to use his gifts and talents. I pray for him as he comes forward to preach your word, in particular as he comes to talk about Mother's Day and how we can best love our wives and honor and cherish our moms. Give him grace, calm his nerves, help him to think and to speak clearly, and that your Holy Spirit would come and enable him and empower him to teach your word accurately and in a meaningful way, and to bless, in particular, our mothers today. And so we ask all of these things in the name of our God and our Savior, our King and our Lord, the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Dan, come on up.
Okay, good morning again, and happy Mother's Day. I am honored to have my mother-in-law here this morning. My father-in-law passed away quite a few years ago, and in my previous occupation, I traveled a bit, and I had the chance to spend 8 or 10 nights a year for 8 or 10 years with my mother-in-law, and I always enjoyed being there, and I appreciated her hospitality. With that, let's just open with prayer, and we'll get started with this thing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for your creation, for the beauty, for all those signs that you're out there and you love us. Lord, today I am thankful for my mother, my mother-in-law, all the mothers. Lord, we just ask that they be blessed on this day as they have blessed us. Heavenly Father, I would just pray that you would humble me as I lead this morning, that I would speak truth, that I would speak your will, Lord. I just ask that you use me as your mouthpiece and that your name would be glorified through all that I say, Lord. Amen. So this morning I want to spend a little time talking about how we can show love to our moms. Now guys, I know that your wife is not your mom, and you always wonder, well, do I get my wife a gift for Mother's Day because she's not my mom? But for this morning, I think almost all the husbands out there are either fathers or hopefully soon will be or would like to be. And because of that, we know the best way to teach your children love is the way that you love your wife. So by loving your wife, you're teaching your children to love their mom. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of verses that deal specifically with loving moms. Trey gave Jay a few, and I've got a couple of the same. So I'm going to read just two from Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That's it. And just as important is Ephesians 5, 25, where we're told, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the message this morning, I'm going to focus on how to communicate that love. And to help us get started, we're going to watch a short clip from the Disney movie Finding Nemo. Guys, we're not quite right here. Let's try that again. We need another language here. Not getting that one. Okay, we're not quite getting it here this morning. Anybody understand what they're saying there? It's kind of hard to understand when Dory and Nemo's dad are speaking in a foreign language. Now, They're speaking very, very fluently in another language, Arabic, Russian, and Japanese. And if you were either one of those, you would understand this perfectly. But I didn't, and you probably didn't either. So the question then comes up, how do people communicate when they speak different languages? Several years ago, an author named Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. Although you may not be familiar with it, I would like to spend a little time exploring how children and husbands can apply the truths in this book. We all love our moms, but telling her in a way that she understands easily is even better. Now, we all have some kind of interest outside of our family or our work or our daily tasks. A hobby, I suppose. And others that have stood up here and preached are free to share those. One of our guys that occupies this space now and then has a small interest in cars, maybe even occasionally restoring them. Another guy likes some football team from Texas, and he can probably tell you all about a quarterback that they had in the last couple of years. But we all have things that we like that are outside of our daily routine or our job, and we study those things. We know a lot about those things. And as I think about our men's fraternity groups and all the as we've met, you know, guys get on a subject and they know about that thing. So the point is that we can study those things that we love, those things that we enjoy, and we can know a lot about them. And I would like you to, as we go through this, just think about studying your mom or your wife and learning about that female in your life and trying to communicate better. So, the love languages, here we go. Love language number one, words of affirmation. Now, a note on words of affirmation, kind words, supportive words, mostly sincere words. Anyone that's a parent and has more than one child has had the opportunity to say, you go apologize to your sister. I'm sorry. That's not how mom likes to hear words of affirmation. Go tell your mom Happy Mother's Day because it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Okay? So when you're teaching your children how to compliment their mom, be sincere. Husbands, compliment your wives sincerely. Praise specifics. Lunch was good, Mom. That's fine. But maybe your mom, if she likes words of affirmation, would like to say, Mom, you make the best meatloaf in the world. You know, we can be a little more specific. Moms don't always make the best meatloaf in the world, and sometimes it doesn't turn out really well. And fathers, children, praise your mom even when it doesn't go great. Find something good. There's tons of good, and you know, that serves you well. There's always good in everything, so find the good. And not all moms like to be praised in public. Sometimes they find it embarrassing. Do it anyway once in a while. Praise your wife in front of her friends or your friends. Praise your mom. Now, all of those are examples of words of affirmation. That's one language that of the five. And explore that language. That's not every mom's or wife's love language. They all probably like that to some degree, but it's not necessarily their primary one. So those are the things you can do if your spouse or your mother's one of their primary languages is words of affirmation. Language number two, physical touch. When it comes to moms, you really can't miss with a hug. Moms usually like to be hugged. Good job, Austin. Give your mom a hug. Back rubs are good. My daughter, Casey, loves to have her back scratched. I can rock up to her and just start scratching her back, and she literally purrs. She just loves it. If she's relaxing with her shoes off, like she doesn't like to wear shoes, so her feet are bare a lot, if she's relaxing and you touch her feet, you're going to get kicked in the teeth. don't touch Casey's feet, okay? I don't know if there's anybody out here that might be dating her ever, but I'm telling you, scratch her back, don't touch her feet. So moms, or should I say husbands, fathers, kids, your mom likes to be touched. Hug her, but there are other special touches that she likes. Moms just like being close, okay? They like being close to their children and their family. And there's an old story about the guy and his wife riding in the pickup. For some of you that have not seen a pickup that had a bench seat, it's a seat like a church pew, and you could slide around, okay? But the older couple riding in the pickup, and the husband's driving, and the wife is sitting way over on the passenger door, and she says, "Honey, you remember when we were young and we used to sit next to each other?" And he says, "I haven't moved." Well, he didn't, but I would bet that she didn't really feel welcome there. If he asked her, she would gladly slide over next to him, just like in the old days. So, husbands, invite your wives to be close and get close. Barb and I, as we walk through the mall, grocery store, wherever we are strolling, we do enjoy holding hands. And I realize that not all couples are into that, but you know, it's always something you can try and find out if that's something that your wife speaks and she enjoys. And you can always ask her, "Do you like holding hands?" Don't ask her that in front of your buddies, but ask her. And I got a couple of notes here for dads just on the love language of physical touch. Your daughters need you to touch them. Not just when they're babies, not just when they're cute little 3 or 4 year olds dancing around in their little dresses. Daughters that are starved for appropriate physical attention from their dads have an exponentially higher risk of premature sexual activity. So dads, touch your daughters until they leave home with their husband to get married in appropriate ways. They need that, and if they don't get it from you, they will find it somewhere else. And while we're on husbands, the only time you touch your wife in a special way is when you have intentions for something else later in the evening. You are on the wrong track, and she will tell you. So remember that. Touch your wives in ways that they like to be touched, in ways that mean nothing else except I love you and I want to be close to you. Okay, language number 3, quality time. This is for, this varies. Heather, quality time is probably quiet. Quiet time. You know, when you got a whole troop full of kids running around, mom's alone time can get very, very difficult. And I'm not saying that's the only quality time, but that's probably a good one for young mothers needing quality time. Dad, step up to the plate. Find out what you can do to help. Divert the kids for a little bit. Give mom a break. And then, the situation that Barb and I are in now, after the kids are gone, quality time means I want the kids home. And you be here with the kids so we can all get together. So it shifts as time goes on, how much time you a mom may want with her kids. But dads, do the best you can. Find out the way to give mom quality time, possibly away from the kids, but then also make efforts for quality time with the kids around there. Barb and I really enjoy going for walks. It's not too often. Most of the time, Barb brings it up, but once in a while, I'll say, "Hey, let's just go for a walk." It's just quality, quiet time away. And I don't have numbers, because the numbers don't really matter, but in surveys, when wives were asked, what is the easiest thing your husband could do to improve the quality time in your marriage right now, any idea what it is? Put the phone down. And Nick Chatterton was always pretty open about that. He said, "I'm hopelessly and helplessly addicted to this thing." And it's an electronic gadget, and we dig them. So, you know, that's a small thing. put the phone away, put it down, look your wife in the eye and listen once in a while. And moms, help us, wives, help us out here. You know, guys would like to do quality time. Sometimes we need some guidance. Number four, acts of service. And if you're enjoying the little video up here, I had nothing to do with it, okay? My graphic design son is all over that, so thank you, Austin. Acts of service. I'm going to start with what this is not. So for the kids out there, this is not cleaning your room. That's not a loving mom act of service. That's something that Ephesians 1 tells us to do. You need to clean your room. Mom's not impressed when you do what you're supposed to do. Husbands, if you're supposed to cut the grass, don't come in the house and say, honey, I cut the grass for you. Because you're supposed to do that anyway. So we all have those things that we do, and mom certainly appreciates when we do them. But we need to go above and beyond and find those acts of service. If this is your wife's, your mom's love language, if she really appreciates acts of service, go above and beyond and find those things that's maybe not your job, and do those for her. And really, this is one you don't necessarily have to study very hard. Mom's doing a job, and she says, I hate doing this. So there you go. When Shelly's in labor, Trey, there's not much you can do, okay? You're just kind of, I know, honey, I feel your pain or something like that. Here you go. How many moms on Mother's Day are going to cook today? Don't raise your hands, please, okay? But some of you are going to cook. Okay, dads, learn how to cook one or two meals. Teach your sons how to cook one or two meals so they can at least do that much. I mean, spaghetti is not hard. Well, maybe you can move beyond that, but that's an act of service that I would think that every wife and mother would appreciate. Language number five, gifts. When I went to Haiti on a mission trip last spring, I got to know a guy named Art, a little bit of a grizzly guy that's a very wise man. And something came up about giving your wife gifts, and he was pretty cynical. He said, well, why don't I just give her the credit card and she'll be happy? And nobody threw rocks at him, but it got really quiet, and he said, bad answer. So we need to be careful in our culture of over-materialism and stuff that we don't get an attitude of, it's Mother's Day, here's $5, buy your mom something. Now, that's not wrong, but we can do a little better. And according to Gary Chapman's book, gifts with emotional value mean the most, which is why every two-year-old's crayon art is on the refrigerator. It's something that the child does and gives out of love and out of their heart. So attach emotion to a gift. We don't need to give lots of gifts. Most of us don't have enough room for our house, in our house, for all the gifts and stuff we have anyway. Now, men can and do get emotional about cordless power tools. We like them as gifts. Mom probably doesn't feel the same way about the sound of a vacuum cleaner. So, unless you're running it. Okay, so mom doesn't need gifts just for the sake of a gift, okay? Emotional gifts, things that mean something. Moms know when you put a lot of thought into the gift. So, I'm going to wrap this up. We're trying to study ways to show our moms and our wives that we love them. Mothers have different languages. We all have different languages. I'm real big on quality time. My next language would probably be physical touch. I like that. Got to tell you about my Aunt Florence. She is actually my great aunt. Whenever you went to a family gathering, And Aunt Florence was there, and she always was. When you walked in, you looked both ways because she was coming. She was a pretty big gal, and she was a hugger. And you were going to get it no matter how fast you ran or how much you cringed. You were going to get a hug. And I didn't like it so much when I was 3 or 4 years old. But by golly, you knew Aunt Florence loved you. She was a hugger. She would also tell you if she thought your shirt was ugly. So she was an honest hugger. But she would tell you what she thought. So I'm going to wrap this up here in just a minute. And we're going to get a little help from Nemo again to try and finish this up. Can you help us out, Glenn? Okay. We gonna get it, Glenn? Okay, well, that's fine. That's fine. Okay, a lot of you have probably seen the movie. Dory, you've seen it? Good. Oh, there you go, you should have brought it. Dory is trying to speak whale. And Nemo's dad is a little orange fish next to her going, "You can't speak whale." And she is not deterred. She still goes on trying to speak whale. Dory doesn't have a clue how to speak whale, but she's trying. And our love language is not necessarily the same as our wives or our moms. We have one and she has one. So this morning I would encourage you to be like Dory and try. Study your mom, study your wife. Try to speak a language that you're not necessarily good at or familiar with, and use that language to communicate love to your mom today. That's all I have. Go enjoy your lunch. Thank you.